Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You know what time it is. It's time for current sports coming to you all on the final day here in the month of January for the year 2019. That's right. It is January 31st, 2019. And thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of now, what, day two of the polar vortex. I'm sure many of you have not left the crib. And if you have left the house, I really hope it was essential, right? But it's still really, really, really cold outside. Michigan State University canceled classes for yet another day. So back-to-back days in which we haven't seen Michigan State students here on the campus of MSU. The state of Michigan is still under a state of emergency. I saw that Governor Gretchen Whitmer actually had a late evening press conference yesterday to encourage everybody out there to lower your thermostats to 65 degrees. And I've seen many social media posts out there from folks who live in this great state. Many people saying, 65 degrees, what? Are you kidding me? Do you know what the temperature is outside? I've seen many people out there on the flip side
so
of that.
So disrespectful for you to say something like that.
Well, hey, it's essential, Stephen A., because if you don't lower, if we don't get enough people to lower their thermostats to 65 degrees, Consumers Energy is saying that we run the risk of not being able to fully provide heat for everyone in the area. There may be a malfunction.
Yeah,
I know.
That is blasphemous.
It's crazy. It's great. Well, an explosion happened, Stephen A. That's what happened at Consumers Energy's plant, which led to this state of emergency and led to Gretchen Whitmer coming out and saying, please lower your thermostats to 65 degrees. So crazy stuff. I'm what, you know, we got a Jack Kerwin show. I think Jack is putting his stamp on his shows as of recently because it's a heavy show on a lot of sound bites. Jack, I'm curious. Well, you stay on campus, right? Or do you have an apartment? I can't hear you.
No, I got an apartment.
Okay, you got an apartment. Did you lower your thermostat to 65
degrees? Hell no.
I can't even lie, man. It's so cold outside. I lowered it, but it wasn't 65 degrees.
Yeah, I think we have ours at about 68 right now.
68?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I was even higher than that. I was like around like 73. So,
well, here's the thing. Yeah. We got an email a couple days ago from our apartment telling us to keep our thermostat above 65 just because letting it go lower than that would be dangerous because of how cold it is outside.
The pipes could freeze. But yeah. I guess at 65, though, I was doing some research on that last night, and I guess at 65 degrees, the pipes won't freeze. They don't have a chance. And you know, and on the flip side of this, too, let's just say worst case scenario, Consumers Energy, something happens, and they can't provide heat for those in the area. I would take 65 degrees over no heat all day. So if you can, even if it's just for a moment, I get it. You know, that may be a lot to ask because of the weather outside, but we want to be safe, folks. And I hope you have been safe these last 2 days. And it's crazy. Just get through this week because I believe next week is supposed to warm up. Something crazy, like one of those days we're supposed to be in the 50s, which is just crazy to think about. All right. Okay, sports talk. On today's current sports, we want to address a major story that broke yesterday concerning the Michigan State men's basketball team, a pretty big loss for the Spartans. There was also a story that I saw ESPN publish concerning Michigan State and the whole Larry Nassar situation, and it even goes deeper than that in this, like, 40-plus page report. Just negligence in many, many different areas. So another negative report coming out about Michigan State in the national news, ESPN putting it out there. I also saw the Atlantic State Journal also reporting on this, which kind of makes it a bit, you know, that's got to be a little bit awkward because, as many of you also know, ESPN's College Game Day will be coming to East Lansing this Saturday morning for broadcast in preparation for the Michigan State and Indiana game. So we'll have thoughts on that. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta will be joining me this hour. We're going to get him on the phone line in just a moment, actually. Deshaun, of course, a dear friend of the show, college basketball reporter and analyst for CBS Radio in Atlanta. He is actually on Radio Row for the Super Bowl. You know, it's happening right there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the ATL. And Deshaun, as you can imagine, has been one busy man throughout this week. So Deshaun will be joining us to talk some college basketball. We'll get his thoughts on the Josh Langford injury, and we'll get a firsthand account on how the festivities are coming along in preparation for the Super Bowl between the LA Rams and the New England Patriots come this Sunday. I'll throw out a few interesting prop bets that have been hitting social media, and we'll go through those and have some fun with that. And then to close out the show, it is Thursday. We'll hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at exactly what happened in the world of sports here on this January 31st. We call it Throwback Thursday, all right? So that and more, let's hit you with our current sports quick hit headliners. All right, some really sour news for Michigan State men's basketball. It broke yesterday that Michigan State junior guard Joshua Langford will miss the rest of the season with a left foot injury. Langford has missed the past 8 games for the number 6 Spartans after leaving during the first half of their game against Northern Illinois on December 29th. Langford was averaging 15 points per game, almost 4 rebounds per game, and 2.3 assists before that injury, which is being called a stress injury. Tom Izzo released a statement saying that Langford will have to undergo surgery to prevent further problems on that ankle. And Langford, one of the best shooters in the Big Ten, also making 40% or better from behind the three-point line in each of his 3 years here in East Lansing. We will have more on that story in just a moment. Also, due to this frigid cold weather, it has now forced the Michigan State women's basketball game against Penn State tonight to undergo postponement. That's right, that game will not take place due to continuing inclement weather. The game will be rescheduled for Wednesday, February 27th, at a time to be determined. The Spartans will now prepare to host Purdue this Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Breslin Center. It's going to be MSU's annual pink game. Michigan State is 15-5 overall, 5-4 in league play, and has currently won 2 straight games. The game will be televised on the Big Ten Network come this Super Bowl Sunday. Also, this is a very layered story, but I just want to give you kind of the gist of things, and we'll have more conversation on this as well as the hour proceeds. But Michigan State University's failure to detect and stop sexual assaults by now imprisoned sports doctor Larry Nassar indicates a lack of institutional control, according to a United States Department of Education report. The nearly 50-page program review report is dated December 14th, 2018, and was prepared by the Education Department's Federal Student Aid Office. The Associated Press obtained a copy of the report from Michigan State via email yesterday. So this wasn't like an ESPN exclusive. That's just where a lot of people saw the story because
it's ESPN. But I saw the Atlantic State Journal put this out. Again, the Associated Press obtained a copy of the report. And again, the report accuses the East Lansing School, Michigan State University, of being out of compliance in areas of the Clery Act, which requires universities participating in student aid programs under Title IX to provide the campus community with information about public safety issues. I'll have more details on this report later on this hour, and I'll put in perspective what this means for Michigan State University moving forward. All right, in the NBA tonight, you can catch the Dallas Mavericks and the Detroit Pistons going at it at 7 p.m. inside of Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons sit at 21 and 28 on the year. The Mavs at 23 and 27 on the season. Your likely starting lineup tonight will feature Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, Bruce Brown Jr., Blake Griffin, and Andre Drummond. For the Mavs, Dennis Smith Jr., Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, DeAndre Jordan, and I'm already calling him the Rookie of the Year, folks, Luka Doncic. He is so fun to watch. The Pistons, if you remember, not too long ago, fell to the Mavs 6 days ago, to be exact, by 5 points on the road. The Pistons riding a two-game losing streak coming into this game. Again, that Mavs loss coupled with the loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll see if the Pistons can get out of the doghouse tonight. All right, the New Orleans Pelicans. The presence of, or I should say lack thereof, of Anthony Davis was unmistakable last night as the New Orleans Pelicans lost 105-99 to the Denver Nuggets in the first home game of the team, for the team, I should say, since Davis's trade request became public via his agent on Monday. Now, Davis was absent through almost the entirety of the team's pregame hype video prior to tip-off, and he was removed from an image of the Pelicans' entire roster with the motto, "Do it big," at the conclusion of the video. Now, a leaked source told ESPN that Davis's removal from the video was done to prevent negativity around Davis, believing that putting his image on the screen could have encouraged booing. You think? But I don't think that's the reason why they took him from the video. I just think that, hey, loyalty is everything, right? Well, not in the NBA, at least. Not today in 2019's NBA. But I think Davis has said he's wanted to move on, so let's take him from the video. I think that was the mindset behind this, not we didn't want to encourage booing. Come on now. All right, also some Detroit Lions news here. Before he hired Daryl Bevel as offensive coordinator, Detroit Lions head coach Matt Patricia spoke with former Notre Dame coach Charlie Weiss about the job. Though Weiss said their conversations didn't quite amount to an interview. So it never got to an interview process, but Matt Patricia was interested in Charlie Weiss. This is what Weiss said yesterday on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Quote, "We talked, but it never got to that point. There was no interview. Matt and I are too close to go through an interview. If it ever would have happened, it would have been, hey, you want to come? And I would have said yes or no. It wouldn't have been anything other than that." So Weiss basically saying they're so close that it wouldn't have been a formal interview process. It would have been asking me, hey, do you want to join me or not? Now, Weiss and Patricia spent one season working together with the New England Patriots in 04, and Weiss tried to hire Matt Patricia as a low-level assistant the following year at Notre Dame. And this is kind of comical. A Pittsburgh TV news producer who was fired for writing a graphic calling New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady a, quote, known cheater, says he was just trying to have a little fun. Just a little fun. Michael Telly, he tweeted yesterday that he got fired from KDKA TV for putting the phrase underneath Brady's name in the Monday news segment. Telic told the Pittsburgh City paper that since most Steelers fans despise Brady, he thought he'd have a little fun with the description. But KDKA wasn't having it and fired him. Do you think that went too far, Jack? Just having a little fun?
Yeah, I think it did go a little too far. I mean, I don't think a guy deserves to be fired for that.
Known cheater on the graphic, though. You can't, I mean, that's journalism 101. You can't, I mean, I understand you want to have fun. It's sports, it's the Super Bowl. Pittsburgh fans don't like the New England Patriots. But putting that.
But to be fired for that?
Oh, yeah. People have been fired for a lot less, Jack, in this industry. A lot less, brother. So, yeah, you can't do that. I don't know. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to weigh in, the number to call is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are going to get, actually, in a matter of pretty much right now, Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter and analyst for CBS Radio in Atlanta. He's going to join us live from Radio Row. We'll talk some college hoops with him, get his thoughts on the Josh Langford injury and what it means for the Spartans moving forward. And we will, of course, get a firsthand account of what the atmosphere is like out in Atlanta for the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Patriots. Later on this hour, we'll talk about the prop bets for the Super Bowl, and we will have Throwback Thursday. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News, comment below the live stream, and you can tweet the show at WKAR News and tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
Long two-pointer. He can't hit it. Bridges set. McKenzie coming across that little baseline screen. Open look. Langford. Yes, it's a three. Yes, he's proving you better not leave him. You better find him because he started out nice and smooth, and he's continuing it. 4 for 5 from the floor.
Winston with 15 to shoot. Brown scraping at the ball. Langford using the screen set by Carter. Pull up. Look at it. Minutes to go first half. Winston bounces. Langford, pretty fast, drains it.
Well, if not for him, Michigan State would be in a little bit more trouble.
TCU and Syracuse coming up in the second half of this doubleheader.
Wow.
Joshua Langford.
All right, you heard the highlight. That's actually a montage of Josh Langford and his 22-point performance against Bucknell in the early round of the NCAA tournament, round one to be exact, at Little Caesars Arena. A great game for Josh there. And you know, Josh Langford is a piece that is now no longer a part of this year's program due to this ankle injury. And we knew it was something more serious than your average sprained ankle, right? You know, I've been saying that for days now, because an average ankle injury, an average sprained ankle, I mean, you're back within 2 weeks of healing up. And, you know, we haven't seen Josh since December 29th. So we knew, kind of had an inkling. I think many of you did as well, that this was something more serious. And no doubt about it, this will be a loss that will be felt from this program. Just how much so is debatable, and it varies depending on who you talk to. But I put out there, and this caused, you know, a lot of stir on my personal Twitter page. But I put out there, I don't see how this team is going to make a deep run in this year's NCAA tournament without him. You know, Sweet 16, throw a party, if you ask me. Now, I get it. It's the NCAA tournament, and anything could happen. It's all about matchups on a given day. And, you know, sometimes it's about a little bit of luck as well. I mean, if you're going to win six straight games and win a national championship, or, you know, go to an Elite Eight or go to a Final Four, you are going to have a little luck on your side as well. The stars are going to have to align. But when you take away a player like Josh Langford, who has experience for this team, who is a co-captain for this team, that is going to be felt. So, you know, I just want to throw the question out there first. Before we welcome Deshaun Tate to the show, and we're working on trying to get him. We don't have him right now. We'll keep on working the phone line. I know he's a busy man. He's on Radio Row right now. But I want to throw the question out there. You know, how are you feeling about this injury? Because there were many out there, just, you know, and I retweeted a lot of the reactions from Spartan fans out there upon hearing this news. A few of them very, very comical. Put in perspective that, oh my goodness, you know, this is the coldest day that we've experienced since the 90s here in mid-Michigan, and now we get the news that Josh Langford is done for the season. There were a lot of GIFs out there that were pretty comical as well. But, you know, laughing aside, I really feel for Josh Langford, because I believe that, you know, this would have been a year that if Josh continued to lead the team in scoring, because he was doing that before the injury, you know, if he continued to surge and improve, and, you know, let's just say he had a great NCAA tournament, I think that he would have bolstered that NBA draft stock. We're talking about a former McDonald's All-American, for goodness sake. Those are his dreams and aspirations, to play in the NBA. I think if he would have had a great tournament and created a bit of buzz around him, more buzz around him, I think that, you know, he might have left. I'm not saying he would have, but, you know, there was a solid chance that he could have. And now you're without him. So the question I have, what are your thoughts on Michigan State moving forward right now? Because for me, this is a big, big loss. And before I give you details of why I believe this is a big loss and how I perceive the rest of the year for Michigan State men's basketball, I do want to go behind the glass. Jack Kerwin, engineer of this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And first off, Jack, I want to thank you and Connor yesterday. Connor came in early, and we pre-recorded the show early yesterday and got us on the air. I know the university is closed. You guys don't have any classes. The building here at the Communication Arts and Sciences, College of Communication Arts and Sciences, is actually locked. But you guys coming in on what is a true off day for you guys, I really appreciate that. So thank you so much, man. What are your thoughts on this injury?
Well, you and I talked about it on Twitter a little bit yesterday. I think it's a little bit early to completely write off the Spartans as a Final Four contender, maybe as a national title contender. But as a Final Four contender, I think it's a little too early to write them off, just because, you know, you look at this team and you look at the depth of this team. And I would encourage anyone out there, if they are a subscriber to The Athletic, to read the piece that Brendan Quinn released today talking about the Spartans' performance with and without Josh Langford so far. Quinn's data basically said that so far with Josh Langford this season, the Spartans are about 10 points better than they are without him. Offensively and defensively, they're about 7 points better without him, as opposed to, so, I mean, you know, you look at it, it's really only a 3-point swing. And the other point I would make is, you know, heading into March, I think what you'll see from this team is Kyle Arnes is going to get displaced from the starting lineup by Aaron Henry. You know, he's got a lot of time to develop between now and, you know, March, when the games really matter. And I just think, you know, Purdue was a great example of a game where the Spartans missed Josh Langford just because people weren't hitting shots in the first half. You know, Gabe Brown was 0-for from 3. I think Matt McQuaid only had 1 3. And Josh Langford's, you know, skill set is he can take it off the dribble, he can create his own shot, and he can get to the rim. But when things are going really, really well for this Spartan team, I would actually make the argument that Josh Langford kind of, what's the word? Kind of takes away from the synergy that you see on the floor, just because of, you know, what I just mentioned. He'll take the ball off the dribble, as opposed to, you know, Cassius Winston facilitating everything. You know, it's a very unselfish brand of basketball. So,
boy, so you're saying with Josh Langford on the floor, it becomes a selfish brand of basketball?
I don't think it becomes a selfish brand of basketball in its entirety. I would just make the argument that Josh Langford is the one player on this team that, I don't want to say he's a selfish player, because I don't think he's a selfish player, but I think, you know, when he's in a funk, when he's not shooting well, he tries to shoot himself out of funks.
Well, that's like Matt McQuaid, too. Matt McQuaid to do that.
Well, but
the
Matt
same
McQuaid,
way.
Matt
but
McQuaid,
the thing, Jack, when you talk about Cassius Winston, when Josh is on the floor, I kind of have a different viewpoint when you talk about Cassius being the facilitator for this team, and that kind of changes if Josh Langford's on the floor. I mean, a lot of the highlights that you see of Josh Langford is him coming off a screen and getting a feed from Cassius for that 15-foot jump shot. Sure, he'll take it off the dribble and attack as well, but I think most of the time when it comes to that 15-foot old-school jumper that he has, those are coming off assist from Cassius yep. Winston, because with him on the floor, I mean, Michigan State's still leading, if not among the leaders, in assist-to-turnover ratio.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. My problem is, you know, I made this argument when you were out, actually, is that I agree that I think Josh Langford's a very dangerous player when, you know, he's able to catch the ball in stride and step into his shot, you know, especially beyond the three-point line. The problem is, you know, what I saw this season, especially early on, was Josh Langford tried to do it himself a little bit too much. And I'm not trying to make the argument that State is better without Josh Langford.
No, that's
I don't think they're better
statement.
Without Josh Langford. And even without Josh Langford, I'm not sure they're a national title contender. But I still think this team is capable of making a run without Josh Langford, absolutely.
I'm not as confident as I was. So we're falling in different sides of this argument. For me, I mean, sure, you bring up the stat, you know, the statistics scoring-wise and offensive efficiency since Josh has been gone. But, you know, I look at that stretch of basketball since he's been gone, dating back to December 29th when he left in the first half against Northern Illinois. I mean, Michigan State has played just three ranked opponents, all right? You know, the other wins, again, Northern Illinois, you beat Northwestern. You do beat Purdue, even though that was a different Purdue team that we currently are seeing, and that's the ebb and flows of a college basketball year, but they unranked. Penn State, unranked. Nebraska, unranked. Those are wins that you're supposed to get. Point blank, period. Now, when it comes to Josh, what you're going to be missing, and this is why I'm not confident, you know, that Michigan State can make a Final Four run without him, because he does so much. You know, now I get it. You know, put anything in perspective here. You know, Michigan State still leads the Big Ten in scoring margin, field goal percentage, and field goal percentage defense, three-point defense, and also assist. Very impressive. Also, MSU leads the Big Ten in standings, along with Michigan at 9-1. It's really a two-team horse race at this point in the Big Ten. It's Michigan, Michigan State, than everybody else. Those teams, I think it's going to come down to those final two games between this in-state rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State to decide who wins the Big Ten regular season. But when you take Josh Langford away from this team, you know, you are stripping away 15 points per game. You can't tell me that is not going to be missed. You are also taking away a pretty solid defender as well. A lot of people forget how good of a defender Josh Langford eventually has morphed himself into. That was a knock on Josh his freshman year. He's become a pretty solid defender for this team as well. Also, you can't look over that. He's also a co-captain for this team. Sure, he can lead from the bench as well, and he's been doing that. You know, I saw Josh at Michigan State men's basketball practice handing out water. He was a water boy for the team. That's just Josh's personality. He's there in the huddles trying to encourage his team. You know, he's there at halftime, very vocal. Tom Izzo is known at that. But it's different being a leader from the bench and being a leader out there on the court. You're also eliminating a starter who is averaging 29 minutes per game for this team. Meaning, now that you take him away, and we're seeing this, and this is the big worry that we've been talking about with Michigan State men's basketball, the tread on the tires, specifically of a player like Cassius Winston. You know, this now means that Cassius is going to have to keep this up the rest of the year. And we're just midway through this really gauntlet of a Big Ten season in which you play 20 games. That means that Cassius Winston, and also Matt McQuaid for that matter, the crazy minutes will continue for them. Winston is averaging 32 minutes per game. McQuaid just a bit under that at 28.4 minutes per game. So you know what that means as well. If you're logging that amount of time on the hardwood, there's a greater chance of you going out there and goodness forbid, right? I mean, knock on wood, you can't afford another injury, Michigan State. That's what it also means. You know, Kyle Arns and his back injury, I'm a bit nervous about that. It came out that Nick Ward is dealing with the flu. Thank goodness that you just play a horrible Big Ten basketball team this year in Indiana come this Saturday, which also puzzles me. Why in the world did ESPN's College Game Day decide to come this weekend, this week, when Michigan State plays Indiana? But, again, you're taking away 15 points per game. Cassius Winston is going to have to continue to be what Tom Izzo called on Tuesday during his press conference, Iron Man. I just worry about this team and its fatigue. And I know Michigan State is showing a lot of depth right now, getting contributions from, the freshman and Aaron Henry. And Aaron Henry, I tweeted this to you yesterday, Jack. I mean, he's going to have to grow a beard. He's going to have to pay the bills, take out the garbage. He is going to have to mature and grow up rather quickly now, knowing that Josh Langford, you don't have Langford the rest of the year. Xavier Tillman, going to have to keep up his production. Kenny Goins, going to have to keep up his production. And when talking about the NCAA tournament, it's about matchups, it's about seeding, and I was having this debate with a few people yesterday as well. I get all that. But I just can't keep replaying the fact that now for the past three seasons, Michigan State, come the Big Dance, has been eliminated in the first weekend. Being eliminated with what I believe, when you look at those rosters from top to bottom, more talented rosters than what this year's Michigan State team currently has. I just can't keep thinking about that. You had more talented rosters, and let the last 3 years, you have been eliminated in the first weekend, and you think this year's team is going to make a deep Final Four run. It's wishful thinking.
Well, hang on. This team's a lot more cohesive than they've been the last 2 years, though.
Sure, more cohesive. I'm just talking about from a talent perspective, Jack. And again, teams look different. This is what I love about college basketball as well. Teams look totally different. Can look totally different from the middle of the year in comparison to the beginning of the year, and then the middle of the year in comparison to the end of the year, come postseason. I'm just worried about the minutes are a problem for me. And then also the fact that, I mean, just look at the Purdue film. Looking at that Purdue game, Jack, if you evaluate that first half, teams now are going to look at the blueprint of that game, and a few other teams have done that this season as well. Double teaming Nick Ward, and it helps if you got a big that can match his size. Double team Nick Ward. If you take Nick Ward out the game, it all falls on the shoulder of Cassius Winston. And if he is struggling offensively like he did in that first half against Purdue, what kind of help can you consistently bank on to give him if Nick Ward is eliminated from the game?
Well, hang on.
Who's it going to be?
Well, when looking at that first half, though, you got to keep in mind, again, Gabe Brown and Matt McQuaid, I think, were a combined 1 of 8.
They were horrible.
Three.
They were horrible.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be horrible
that's
every
the thing
game.
About Matt McQuaid. Matt McQuaid is inconsistent.
Yeah,
Matt
he
McQuaid
is.
Matt McQuaid is just hugely inconsistent. I mean, one game he's hot, the next game it's like, what in the world is going on? You can't bank on him. Who else? Aaron Henry. I love Aaron Henry. And I think that we're going to see one of these days Aaron Henry break out for a 15, maybe even a 20-point game.
I think March he'll be averaging 12 a game.
I think he's that good. I think that he's that talented. But, again, that's what we're hoping, right? He's going to have to mature. He's going to have to mature. His game is going to have to grow. The other players, Kenny Goins, is going to have to continue his production for this team. I'm feeling a little bit weary on whether or not the role players on this team can keep this up. And I'm worried about whether or not Cassius Winston is going to break down. And these are very big concerns for me. So we'll see. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We do have a very, very busy brother waiting on line one right now, Deshaun Tain of CBS Radio. He is going to join us after this first break, joining us live from Radio Row. We'll get his thoughts on the loss of Josh Langford, on Michigan State moving forward. We'll have an overview on his thoughts of college basketball right now. And, of course, we'll talk some Super Bowl with him. That and more, don't touch that dial. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just want to pass this news along to you all as well. I'm seeing it float around everywhere on social media. The NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions today banned Missouri's football, baseball, and softball teams from competing in the postseason this year, and placed the athletic department on 3 years probation as a result of academic fraud. The penalties were handed down after a two-year investigation into alleged academic fraud at the SEC institution that is Mizzou. The football, baseball, and softball programs will also have a 5% reduction in scholarships. They will also have a 7-week ban on unofficial visits and a 7-week ban on recruiting communications and off-campus recruiting evaluation days. I guess it was found out now here, Jack, that there was a tutor doing the work of student athletes who are part of these programs at Mizzou.
Color me shocked.
Yeah, I know, right?
A tutor doing work for athletes? This has got to be the only occurrence in all of the nation where this is taking place.
Yeah, it's saying that...
What a disgrace.
I'm telling you, they just got caught, right? I think there's a lot of universities
Big
out
time.
Here with their hand in the cookie jar when it comes to this subject. But this tutor completed academic work for 12 student athletes. That's what's being reported. The NCAA did not find credible evidence that her colleagues directed her to complete the athlete's work. The NCAA said that in its report. The NCAA report said, simply put, 12 student athletes did not complete their own work. So do your own work, student athletes. All right, just wanted to pass that news along to you guys. Line one, we've got Deshaun Tate live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Of course, the Super Bowl taking place in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Deshaun Tate, CBS Radio Atlanta, college basketball reporter and analyst, now joins us. Deshaun, I just want you to kind of set the scene for us. What's it like? What's this week been like for media members and fans alike in preparation for the Super Bowl this weekend?
92 degrees down here, Al Martin. No, I'm just kidding. I heard
it is not.
We'll get to that in a second. You got the long johns on. They tell me it's minus 100 up there.
It is. It is so cold, Deshaun. And you would rub it in right now. And you know what? I knew you were going to bring up the weather, so I Googled what the weather is out in Atlanta right now. It is a nice 50 degrees, which feels like the Bahamas in comparison to what we're experiencing here in the Midwest. And it's supposed to be, I believe, 61 degrees at the time of the Super Bowl on Sunday. So we are all incredibly jealous of you right now, okay?
I got you, my brother. It's a nice scenery, man. I'm right here right now outside of Centennial Olympic Park and CNN and Georgia World Congress Center, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the game's going on. And it's crazy, man. With the exception of the police having the dogs with them on every corner sniffing everything, it's worse than the airport. Outside of that, man, everything's good. Radio Row is great. It's funny that I'm coming on the show with you today. I talked to Rob Parker a little bit earlier, about a little over an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Said that he called it out 10 years ago. Tom Izzo would not win another national championship after he won it, now working on 20 years ago. Of course, the last team in the Big Ten to win it. But things here, so far, they're good. You know, they're busy, but sometimes, you know, busy is good.
Without a doubt, busy is always good, man. Keeps you out of trouble. And I'm wondering, Deshaun, you know, when it comes to what you guys are doing out there broadcasting, what athletes have you all talked to since you've been down there?
Talked to quite a few people. Not looking at everybody. A lot of people still kind of coming in town. Radio Row is still fairly or relatively early, so I know the people at the airports at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, International Airport, is going to be really busy. But probably the biggest name and the guy that I probably had the most fun with since I've been here, probably Michael Irvin. I mean, the dude's a riot. The dude's a lot of fun, a class act, just an all-around fun guy. If you never had a chance to meet him, it's exactly who you thought that he would probably be when you get the opportunity to meet him. Really down to earth, really fun, but there's a ton of different people here. I can't even go, you know, on and on with the list of names, but certainly Michael Irvin sticks out like a sore thumb.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, that's my guy, man. I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, and I saw when he did a really funny and energetic. He's always energetic on the air. Energetic segment, though, with ESPN's, I believe it was First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. And, you know, Stephen A. is always hating on the Cowboys, and he was really energetic. He was sweating profusely throughout that segment. Irvin's great. That's great stuff, Deshaun. All right, I want to talk more Super Bowl with you in just a moment, but I do want to get your reaction to the news of the Josh Langford injury. That's the big news here when it comes to Michigan State athletics. You shot me a text while I was at the gym when we all got word that Josh will be out for the season. How do you think this changes Michigan State's year?
Well, I think that it's certainly unfortunate. I don't think that it's overly surprising looking at the fact of how long he had been out. You know, it's really unfortunate. You know, if some people consider it maybe saddening or this and that, but to kind of look at things on the bright side, if you will, if there's a such thing as a bright spot in all of this, is the fact that you have an opportunity to make some adjustment within before you get to a point in conference tournament and certainly within the NCAA tournament. Something that you didn't, you know, I wouldn't tell people to just automatically write them off. Now, maybe from a national championship being a contender within that, sure. I'm not sure that I would go so far as to say that they can't be a Final Four team, which I know might put some smiles on some faces up there in East Lansing. However, I'm one of those people that personally feel like if you're not standing on top of that ladder with those big chompers in your hand with those scissors, then it doesn't count as much, certainly. But a lot of Michigan State fans, I've said this on your show plenty of times, have gotten kind of spoiled by the Final Four thing. But going back initially to what I was saying was, I can't recall exactly what year it was. I think it was 2010, I want to say, you know, Kalen Lucas went down. Mm-hmm. And you had Corey Lucius to back him up. Well, you don't have that here. They still made it to a Final Four, but you don't have that in this situation. I'm not the biggest fan of Matt McQuaid playing point guard, and I know that that's kind of been the go-to as of late. But I'm just not a big fan of that, especially from a ball handling standpoint and setting up the offense and things of that nature. And obviously Foster Lawyer's not equipped just yet to be able to do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is the time when you have a senior in Matt McQuaid to step up and, you know, you have to prepare those freshmen, guys like Gabe Brown and guys like, you know, Kyle Arns, who I know isn't a freshman, but Aaron Henry, another freshman, to kind of step in and step up. And one thing you're not going to be able to complain about is or try and threaten the transfers because you're not going to get the playing time that you feel like you deserve. They're definitely going to get their fair share of playing time, and it's good that Tom Izzo has an opportunity to make some adjustments earlier.
You hit on multiple things there, but I want to talk about this, Deshaun, because I think coming into this year, we didn't know what kind of expectations to really place on this year's team. All right, you know, the expectations were really high the year prior to, and going out second round to Syracuse, again, no, those are wounds that that's a wound that I don't think fully heals. For this year's team, when seeing the role they've been on, at least here to begin the Big Ten year up until now, the midway point of the Big Ten season, what should be? I think that's a better question. What should be the expectations that fans have for this year's team?
Well, considering the injury, I think you got to get out of the first weekend. You got to get
of
out
course,
of the first
right.
weekend. You haven't been out of the first weekend since 2015.
Three straight years.
Know,
yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, still here. Yep.
Okay. Sorry about that. But you got to get out of the first weekend. You know, there's no exception. I don't even remember the last time that Tom Izzo went 3 years in a row without getting out of the first weekend, and everybody kind of assumed that would be the case. And you know what? You're not completely out of that being a realistic thing, you know, having realistic expectations to be able to make it to the Sweet 16. And to be honest with you, who knows? Are they going to get a number one seed? Probably not. Are they going to get a number two seed? Well, that's still kind of up in the air because they've won so many of these very critical games without Joshua Langford. So that is certainly a strong possibility. But regardless of the fact, so much of this determines on what's going to happen on Selection Sunday and matchups. This team that you thought were going to be in the Sweet 16 and that you would match up and Elite Eight games, and then somebody doesn't make it, another team doesn't make it, next thing you know, you're playing Loyola Marymount or Chicago or whomever, whatever, in the Sweet 16, and then you're feeling really good about your chances to get to the Elite Eight. And so I think that you just really have to remain positive and really have to remain optimistic at the end of the day, but certainly at least getting to the Sweet 16 for sure.
So that's where the expectation should be. So with that being said, because I believe there's a lot of Michigan State fans out there, Deshaun, and, you know, to go back what you said about Rob Parker from the D, Rob Parker saying that Tom Izzo won't win a second national championship, and it's been talked about. Fans are getting a bit impatient now, especially, and again, to answer your question, that is the first time in Tom Izzo's career that three straight years he has not gotten out of at least the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. So if Tom doesn't win another national championship the rest of his career, the rest of his tenure here in East Lansing, is it dubbed a failure?
If he doesn't win another national championship, I don't think so. I think it really kind of depends on a lot of different things. Is he getting a whole bunch of one and dones the same way that Duke and Kentucky and Kansas and all these other teams are doing it? I think if we're talking about that, then I think it is definitely considered a little bit more as a failure. But overall, for what he's done, it's certainly not a failure. I mean, you look at how many head coaches there is in college basketball right now that has multiple national championships. Bill Self can't say that. He's in the same conversation
right.
as Tom Izzo. Same thing with Coach Calipari. Really, when you think about it, there's really only probably Jay Wright, Roy Williams, and Coach K, just that I can think of off the top of my head. But I bet you can't name five. I don't think it's a failure. I think that would be really unfair treatment for Tom Izzo for people to think, let alone say that. But the one national championship is certainly, if I would have told you 20 years ago, going on 20 years ago, that Tom Izzo wasn't going to get a national championship in the next 20 years, you probably would have thought that I was crazy, especially if I told you he'd get to probably five or six more Final Fours.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I think that's unfair judgment and unfair treatment to say that. However, I personally feel like he will get another one.
You
considering
do.
Considering the fact that he always has, I think so. Considering the fact that he always has teams ready to go and ready to play in the month of March. And if you look at it, forget about all the one and dones and all this other kind of stuff. You look at some of the most successful teams that he's had, and even ones that are winning the national championship right now. I mean, Villanova, you can't even tell me the last one and done Villanova has had. Well, I could tell you that would be Tim Thomas. But they won two national championships in the last 3 years. They haven't had all these crazy five-star players and one and done. So it is possible, but you have to be recruiting the right way and right within winning, going back and winning the same way that you have, which is recruiting within region and selling your program on guys that will be willing to buy into your system.
And I hear what you're saying, and that's not what I mean. I think whenever Tom Izzo retires, and if he doesn't win another national championship, I think Izzo is going to be looked at. He's already in the Hall of Fame, for goodness sake. I think that overall, immense success what Tom Izzo has built here in East Lansing. But when it comes to recency and recent years and not getting that second national championship, I think many Spartan fans out there will look at just that perspective of things as a letdown. Deshaun, as we come up here with just 10 minutes left here in the hour, I do just want to get your thoughts on a broader look of college basketball right now. And I want to get maybe, and again, it's so early, Deshaun, so I want to put that out there as well. And these can change, and I think they will change as the college year goes on. But who are your favorites to make it to the national championship, to make it to a Final Four right now? Which teams impress you the most?
Well, people are going to call me crazy for this one. Like I said, I always tell people, you know, don't ask me for my Final Four, just because we really don't know. When it comes to those brackets, you really don't know until Selection Sunday
right. Who
has to meet up with who. A lot of those one seeds that look really good right now, i.e. Tennessee Vols, you don't really know who those eight or nine seed will be that you would have to match up with in the second round. And so at this point, you know, people call me crazy because of what happened last year with the 16 over a one, but I think Virginia is probably my biggest front runner that I would put into the Final Four right now, just based on the fact that that they have offense now that can match or come very close to the defense. Now, the struggle is that if they get down by 10 points, it's difficult for them to kind of come back into games. And they're not really, you know, a very athletic team, but they are very experienced being one of those things in depth. depth, experience, and coaching are the three things that I think matters the most when going to NCAA tournament. You have a team like Duke right now that can win this whole thing. You look at Coach K. If he wins this thing, this will be his sixth national championship. Three of his five national championships were won in Indianapolis. The other two being in 1992 and, I believe, 2001, ironically, were won in Minneapolis, Minnesota, obviously. Mm-hmm. The location of this year's Final Four. So, you know, you definitely got to put them in there. You know, they've got the number one and number two expected players to be taken in the draft, of course, and the best coach in the country. Outside of that, I think that Gonzaga is probably one of the front runners. I think they'll eventually get the number one seed out west. And if I just had to throw another one out there, and like I said, these are just front runners. Not all guys I think will make the Final Four. But that other one, that one's a tough one, but I'd probably have to say Michigan. Certainly, I would have to say Michigan.
The Wolverines.
Some of the best ball in the country.
Yeah, okay. All right, Deshaun. Well, as we come up just with like a minute left here, I do want to ask you, I'm not asking for your Final Four, but I will ask who you got this weekend, Rams or Patriots?
I'm going to go with the Pats, man. I'm going to go with the Pats. Some of my buddies are probably going to call me after you get done posting this, and if they're listening right now, are going to say, first you pick Michigan in the Final Four. Now you're picking Tom Brady. What, you drinking a Kool-Aid? What's different about you now? I still bleed green, but I'm just going to – one thing I can't do is I can't go against history. And I think that when any time that you have the greatest player of all time mm-hmm. on your team and you have arguably the greatest coach to ever coach the game,
this reminds me
way too much of the San Antonio Spurs between Pop and Tim Duncan. So I don't think that the Rams – we're talking about the Saints, it'll be a different conversation. I think you got to go with the Pats on this one.
I'm 1,000% with you, Deshaun. And we got to get you back on next week because I would love to hear, what it's like – being there and just taking it all in Atlanta. So we'll get you back on next week to recap everything. Be safe and have fun. Enjoy the week, man. I already know you are.
Looking forward to it, man. Stay warm up there, Al.
I'm trying, brother. I'm trying. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta. Always great chatting with Deshaun. Let's hit our final break, Jack. When we come back, we'll put a lid on this Thursday edition of Current Sports with Throwback Thursday. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. To close out the hour, it is Thursday, and I do want to look at a few notable moments in sports history on this January 31st. Back in 1950 on this day, high school pitcher Paul Pettit signs with the Pirates for a record $100,000. To do so, get this, Pittsburgh had to purchase his contract from a film producer who had signed Pettit to an exclusive contract as an athlete/actor. That's interesting, right? 1975 on this day, UCLA won the NCAA National Basketball Championship. In 1984, the 36th NHL All-Star Game took place. Wells beat Campbell 7-6 at New Jersey. In 1988, the Washington Redskins scored 35 points in the second quarter to overcome a 10-0 deficit and beat the Denver Broncos 42-10 in the Super Bowl. MVP Doug Williams passes for four touchdowns and a record 340 yards. Timmy Smith rushes for a record of 204 yards. 1992 sportscaster Howard Cosell retired. Always loved those exchanges between Cosell and the great one, Muhammad Ali.
on this day in 1993, my Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl beating Buffalo, Jim Kelly and company, 52-17, a thrashing, giving the Bills their third straight loss in the title game. In 1998, Martina Hingis, at 17 years old, becomes the youngest player in the Open era to defend a Grand Slam title. Very impressive stuff there. And in 2010, Swiss Roger Federer beats Britain Andy Murray in three sets at the Aussie Open Tennis Championship to win his 16th Grand Slam title. Also want to note that we have two big birthdays in the world of baseball. On this day back in 1919, the birth of Jackie Robinson in Georgia, the first black Major League Baseball player for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Happy birthday, Jackie Robinson. And in 1931, the birth of Ernie Mr. Cubs Banks of the Chicago Cubs. Two Hall of Famers. Great stuff there. All right, and some fun prop bets. You've got an interesting one, Jack. What is that?
So anyone who's looking for a couple side bets for Sunday's Super Bowl, one thing worth keeping an eye on, I was just talking to Al, is in all eight Super Bowls the Patriots have been in so far to this date, they have been scored on first. So in the first seven, the opponent actually took a 7-0 lead. And then just looking at the box score from last year, the Eagles took a 3-0 lead. So if you can find a side bet that's basically L.A. scores first, I would take that.
That's awesome stuff. I didn't know that the Patriots have been down 3-0 or 7-0 in all of those Super Bowls. That's crazy stuff. Also, some really funny prop bets. How long would it take Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem? That's always a good one. Will Dilly Dilly be said during a Bud Light commercial? How many 30-second Bud Light commercials will feature the Bud Knight? Will Adam Levine be wearing a hat at the start of the halftime show? What will be the first song performed by Maroon 5? Will any of the performers wear a Colin Kaepernick jersey? If SpongeBob does make an appearance, will he kneel in protest? Also, will Andre 3000 join Big Boy on stage? I'm really interested on that one. And also, what are the total times that Jim Nance and Tony Romo say Gronk? Some fun prop bets, folks. We'll talk more Super Bowl tomorrow. We'll have a full preview. You don't want to miss it. Until then, stay warm. Happy Thursday. And be easy, people.